This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Julian Ng and Sherit Abdullah. Now, last week, Rapid KL announced that it plans to solve the first mile coverage for commuters with its trial run of minibuses that will ply route T300. Now, it's important to note this is not the familiar pink buses of the 80s or the 90s. And actually, they're really only minibuses in comparison to the 10 or 12 metre buses because this is a shorter 8 metre vehicle with, important to note, air conditioning.
You know, they may be mini buses, but you could pack about 200 people in them in the past. My preferred place in the bus was just to swing outside of the rail to give me that required ventilation, you know, on the way to work at that time.
When you say swing outside the rail, Julian, were you actually in the bus? Did you pay a bus fare?
Oh, yeah. It's just 50 cents. I mean, it was nothing.
When you say swinging outside the rail, I imagine you hold on to the rail, clinging to the back of the bus like a monkey.
You don't want to exchange warmth with the other passengers, right?
Another way is to stick your head out.
Yes, that would be the prized position. And Rapid Bus CEO Mohammad Yazirin said that this is because Rapid believes that it needs a smaller bus to cover areas that are not covered by the usual size bus. I think this is a really good idea because I see that a lot of the Rapid buses waiting in the MRT station, usually empty, usually they don't arrive at all. So the connectivity is not very good quality. You need more smaller buses that can be filled up a lot more.
Yeah, so I mean, they're introducing smaller bus because, you know, most of the time those big bus, they're not able to sort of maneuver themselves into the roads that we have, and also the errand, you know, cars that are parked on the side. So similar to Rapid KL buses, these mini buses will use cashless system, except touch and go card, as well as the My 100 and My 50 subscription. It's going to start September 1st, but what I find is missing is the intelligent transport system where you're able to sort of detect where the buses are. I mean, that would really help, right?
Thank you. I'm looking forward to that.
You should
start that app, Sherit.
There you go. You have your business all set up for you. Now, this morning, to tell us a little bit more about this, we turn to Ajit Jol, president of the Malaysian Public Transport Users Association, to get his perspective. So thank you for joining us, Ajit. Now, for some background, why were the old minibuses eliminated in the first place?
This is a personal experience from being a rider of one of those minibuses. They were pretty much, the drivers should have been retrained to do F1 racing, actually. The issue of safety, passenger protection, overcrowding, a lot of factors came into play. And I think they were not being streamlined. The whole management of it was difficult to regulate and control them. That's what I believe back then, because this decision was made years ago. The government decided to step in and sort those minibus problems.
So the last mile connectivity is one of the biggest issues for connecting people to major transportation nodes like the MRT and so on. Do you think that with the introduction of minibuses, this would solve that problem? And would it also create other problems like adding to the congestion in the city?
It's a yes and no question. The biggest problem that we have today in public transport is the last mile. Station to station, I think we have so many options from point to point. But it's from the MRT station or the LRT station or the bus stop to reach to your doorstep. That, I think, is a little bit of a challenge. Public transport planning has looked at the main areas except the last mile. I believe the objective of this minibuses is to serve this last mile gap. Again, we are saying this in the absence of full information from Prasarana, because this was suddenly decided, at least you were suddenly notified. We don't have the full details of what the rollout is going to be like or what it's going to look like. It will lead to congestion, but the idea of that congestion is to hope to remove cars and other vehicles off the road. If I send a bus versus 20 cars or 30 cars, so that will hope to alleviate that problem, the last mile.
And this is about changing mindset of people. How do we get more people to actually use public transportation?
We think car ownership needs to increase in cost in Malaysia. We are not in favor of the third national car or the flying car because we think prices of cars should go up. Government should remove all subsidies from private vehicle owners and move them to public transport. Till and until that pinch is not felt, people will still use public transport as a poor man's mode of transport. It's actually not a poor man's mode of transport. is actually a smart man's mode of transport. That perception that the car that you drive measures your wealth has to drop. We need to educate users that it's a smart way to travel.
So right now, also, these minibuses are currently in a trial phase. They're not confirmed yet. So what other ways would you actually suggest, Ajit, that could help with this last mile connectivity issue?
There are a few agendas that are in place. One of them, of course, is the motorbike hailing or e-bike hailing that is being touted. We are supporting it. However, they must subject to their laws, regulations, safety standards, etc., etc. The other thing is, of course, planning of new townships. Then they must be done in tandem with public transport. A lot of the township planning has not looked into public transport per se. Simple things like bus stops are not designated or not designed well for public transport. They're horrible. I mean, we live in a hot weather, so you need to find ways to cool down, to make public transport or the bus stops a little bit more practical instead of putting glass ones that become much hotter. You know what I mean? So things like this, walkways that are more safer, walkways that are well lit, that are protected with maybe trees from the heat and the rain. House planners or housing planners, town developers, township developers need to be charged a premium to build this public transport infrastructure.
Thank you so much, Ajit. And that was Ajit Jol, president of the Malaysian Public Transport Users Association. And I don't know about you guys, but have you ever encountered the problem where you're driving along a narrow road and you turn a corner, say, and then you find yourself face to face with a bus? Because that's been that I've had that a few times, and it is very scary. So I am all in favor of some perhaps seeing more smaller vehicles servicing the last mile connectivity on our roads. But I think that what Ajit highlighted there at the end is also very important. We need to adjust our lifestyles, and to do that, we need to have the public infrastructure to support walking places without breaking into a horrendous sweat and then not being able to go to work. We need to be able to see more, perhaps as you suggested earlier, Sharit, you know, systems to track buses so that we know to the minute when they're going to arrive. And essentially, all of this is to disincentivize people from driving.
Absolutely. I think it's almost behavioral, almost subliminal, actually, that you need to change people's mindsets. Mm-hmm. And the government should make it easier by making the whole transportation journey more pleasant.
So, I mean, if we're looking at more minibuses, we're talking more frequency, hopefully, and mm-hmm. at the same time, smaller buses being able to maneuver all those who are parking on the side. Yeah, probably a positive step.
And not scaring poor drivers like me.
There you go.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.